This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Beth Taylor is the Director of Education at James Madison's Montpelier, conveniently located near an orange near you. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing fine this afternoon, Coy. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it, and we have a whole lot we want to talk about. But first, let me just ask you, what's the latest from Montpelier? I was up there a couple of weeks ago. The Sorensen Institute had a program at the Center for the Constitution, a beautiful new facility there, just down the hill from the main house. And I always love going up there. It's a beautiful drive, number one, and it's also a beautiful place to spend some time.
Absolutely.
So what's the latest?
Well, we are still project rich up here. We have a lot of momentum, and we are thrilled that our visitation for 2008 was up about 45% over the year before.
Wow, gosh.
So we're increasing with each passing year, and we're getting a good start in 2009.
And Beth, you think that has a lot to do with the renovation, that the word's gotten out?
Absolutely, yes. I do think that the publicity that we received because of the big grand opening on Constitution Day last has helped us in every way, and I think that our message about James Madison is getting out there.
And for folks who may not be familiar with this, and they must be just joining us from Des Moines if they're not, but remind us again this project that is the renovation, what it entails.
Yes, we undertook, starting 5 years ago, a complete and completely accurate restoration of James Madison's home so that we could discover James and Dolly Madison themselves, so that if they were here today, they would indeed recognize this as their beloved home. Now we start with the interiors, and we are going to approach that just as carefully.
So y'all are literally going room by room to try to recreate what it looked like when they lived there?
We have chosen four rooms that we know the most about, and these are the ones that we will start with in terms of refurnishing them just as James and Dolly had them. But there is still research to be done, so over a period of years, our visitors will see changes progressively.
And what's so cool is to go up there now and to go during the whole process to see it change. Don't wait till it's done, you know.
Yes, the process itself is the unique opportunity. Once it is done, it will stay that way for a good number of years anyway.
Right.
The process is, first with the structural restoration, and now with the restoration of the interiors, is the unique opportunity.
Yeah, well, imagine if you had an opportunity to go back in the 20s and see, Monticello as they were just bringing it back to life and going room by room trying to recreate what it looked like. You could have seen that happen, and you have that opportunity now at Montpelier.
Well, that's very true, and that's what makes it so exciting for someone like me to be here in these formative stages.
Right, right. Hey, we're talking with Beth Taylor. She's the Director of Education at James Madison's Montpelier. Beth, I'm curious, what is it you think that I think we're on the same page in believing that perhaps James Madison has yet to get his due when it comes to the Founding Fathers, and hopefully that will be remedied this century at some time. But what do you think it is most people don't know about James Madison?
I don't think most people know that he's the father of the Constitution. I don't think most people appreciate that when they hear the word Constitution, they should think James Madison. That more than any one person, he is responsible for the design of our United States Constitution that we're still living under all these years later.
Right, right. And that is the one thing that really unites us. It's not a flag. It is literally a document. It's not really even the Declaration of Independence. That it is the Constitution, those
yes,
written
that's
laws.
Right. This is the super law of the land. And if you recall, when President Obama took the oath of office just a few short weeks ago, he pledged allegiance not to the people, not to an idea, not to a party, but to the Constitution of the United States, protect and defend.
Beth Taylor is Director of Education at James Madison's Montpelier. And Beth, tell us about Paul Jennings. Let's talk about this man, who he was. You have a talk coming up, of course, on February 12th, which is Thursday, I think, at Montpelier at 4 o'clock. About this man, Paul Jennings, and his story. Who was this guy?
Paul Jennings was born into slavery at Montpelier in 1799 when the Madisons went to the White House. And, of course, their years there were 1809 to 1817. They were accompanied by Paul. He was a footman in the White House. Later, back here at Montpelier, he was promoted to James Madison's manservant. So he had a very intimate, if you will, relationship with James Madison over the years. He was an eyewitness to his death. Then after Madison's death, when Dolly went back to the city and lived on on Lafayette Square, Jennings was part of her household, but he was able to acquire his freedom in 1847. And from that time to his death in 1874, he was a leading member of the black community of Northwest Washington, D.C. Now, one of the important reasons why he's so notable is because he left his reminiscences. And this is the first insider's memoir of life in the White House. It was published in 1865. And the title of it was A Colored Man's Reminiscences of James Madison. Now, my question when I started my research was, what about you, Paul Jennings? We'd like to know more about you. And this has been a fruitful process, and it is reaching a certain kind of crescendo this Thursday because my lecture is just part of a two-day reunion for about 30 members of the Jennings family.
Wow, so you found these descendants?
Yes, I did locate about 20 direct descendants.
Gosh.
And they are the represent the three different children of Paul, children of his daughter Frances, his son John, and his son Franklin.
And now sometimes in these cases, if you go that far back, the descendants can today, you know, in the 21st century, can often be white and black or mixed. And, you know, it's you never know. What does it look like today?
Well, first let me say that Paul Jennings himself was the son of a white man and a enslaved woman at Montpelier, who herself was the granddaughter of an American Indian. And thanks to one of the descendants, we now have a photograph of Paul Jennings taken about 1850. And his face is a wonderful mixture of his Afro, Anglo, and American Indian heritage.
Wow, good stuff. What do you think his life, from all the stuff that you have, the research you've done over the years about this man, who really saw it all when it comes to so much of the Madison presidency and the personal life of James and Dolly Madison, he was really behind the scenes there for so much of it. What do you think his life says about slavery, about the White House, or all the topics you looked at?
Well, you know, the whole story has not been told when it comes to our African-American heritage. It has been said that the only thing really new in this world is the history that has yet to be revealed, and Paul Jennings' story certainly deserves to be told. When I look back on it, I see it as a very American story, not only because his story and the story of the generations after him reflect the African-American struggle in America, but it also reflects African-American achievement and African-American activism. Paul finally found that great American aspiration, the right to rise. And when he died, he left behind a house and valuable property to his two surviving sons.
And I also, we're talking with Beth Taylor. She's the director of education at James Madison's Montpelier, and she'll be speaking at Montpelier this Thursday at 4 about Paul Jennings, who was an enslaved African American at Montpelier and at the White House. I also noticed in your notes that he actually helped to lead a, albeit unsuccessful, but a noteworthy historic attempt to free a bunch of slaves and get them north. Is that right?
Yes, this was the so-called Pearl Incident. That was the name of the schooner. And Paul and other African Americans in Washington plotted with Northern abolitionists to plan this escape attempt on this schooner. The slaves that were attempting to escape to the north in the secret of night loaded into the hull of the ship, and then the ship took off but didn't get very far because the wind was not in its favor, and on top of that, there was an informant from the black community. So all of the would-be escapees were brought back to Washington, and the ship captain, who was, of course, part of the plot, was arrested, but did not give up any of his co-plotters.
So Paul and his accomplices were never captured.
Exactly right.
Fascinating stuff. Hey, Beth, is there any one thing that really jumps out at you from his memoirs that he wrote? And he wrote them himself, I would assume. He didn't tell somebody.
Well, the circumstances are very interesting. Paul Jennings worked for many years in the pension office, which was part of the Department of the Interior. And along comes a new coworker, originally from Massachusetts. And this fella, whose identity I discovered, his name is John Brooks Russell. He was an antiquarian and a frequent contributor to an historical magazine. And what happened is that he obviously found Paul's backstory fascinating, and he talked with him at length and then contributed the reminiscences to the magazine in, quote, almost his own words, almost Paul's own words.
So it was more of an oral history then.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So while I'm happy to describe him as the author of the reminiscences, I think of John Brooks Russell as the writer of the reminiscences, which is not to say Paul was not literate, because he was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
While he was still enslaved.
Before we let you go, is there any one thing in his memoirs, in his memories of life behind the scenes in the White House that really jumped out at you, that maybe even surprised you?
Well, I think that he had a real understanding about James and Dolly Madison. And when I talk to the descendant who is the closest in generation today to Paul Jennings, she too, at 93, by the way, but with a mind like a steel trap when it comes to family history, she too, when you ask her, first recalls that the family history was about the close relationship that Paul Jennings shared with James and Dolly Madison. And this is despite the fact that, of course, he was a slave on the Montpelier plantation and in Washington, and that Dolly, due to her great financial hardship, did indeed sell him, and that was part of the road to eventual freedom.
Beth Taylor is the Director of Education at James Madison's Montpelier. You can learn more online at montpelier.org. And she'll be speaking at Montpelier this coming Thursday at 4 o'clock about Paul Jennings. Beth, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you, Coy. I very much enjoyed it, too.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.